Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. Final hour of In This League live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you guys for tuning in. You guys can listen live when we are on the radio, on the apps, iHeartRadio, all the FNTSY app. But you can also podcast us, iHeartRadio, Spotify. We're on there, iTunes, any place that you would expect to find podcasts. That's where we are. And you can tune into this show. You can find all the others. Tons of content here at In This League, and we got you covered, and it's NFL
so
draft
much
stuff.
Content.
So much content, as a matter of fact. We're going to be primed with it next week. Okay, sidetrack for 1 second. How epic of a episode is Game of Thrones going to be on Sunday? How epic is the battle going to be? We have talked for 2 straight weeks. Spoiler, by the way, if you're not caught up, whatever. I mean, I don't know if we're going to do any spoiler, but listen. No one's died. No one's died in the first 2 episodes, and that was unexpected. So will everybody die in this episode, and will the prince that was promised finally happen for us? Will we get the battle that we've finally been wanting, the epic Game of Thrones episode coming off the heels of Endgame?
Probably not. We'll probably get a bunch of good stuff here. Maybe a couple people die, but I think, isn't the Battle of Winterfell two episodes long?
Yeah, I think so.
So I think more of that stuff will happen in the one after this.
Never,
but this one should
for
be
people
awesome.
To die more, like horrible people. We're like, why is anybody dying? What is this? This is a stupid
well,
show.
It's what
like,
you expect
two people
in the
die.
Show now. You expect people to die and characters you like to die. So,
well, especially at this stage, like,
yeah, it's almost over.
Yeah. I mean, take it, you know, people watching Endgame, you know, everyone expects everybody to die, you know, because it's right. Like, you know, the end of their phase 3, and same thing with Game of Thrones. Everyone's like, there's only 4 more episodes. All the people got to die. And it's like, oh, they're going to tug at your heartstrings, but it's not going to be too crazy. And I'm over here trying to finish the season 9 of Shameless here. That's all I'm trying to do.
I'm over here trying to finish my Expanse audiobook.
Oh, you know what I did finish? Marvel Zombies.
Ah, so now the House of M.
I've already started it. House of M.
Thank God.
The book I have, it's 8 comics combined, and I'm almost done with the 3rd comic in it. Very good, by the way. Writing, you know how I complained about the writing in Marvel Zombies?
Yep.
That's not there in House of M.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a lot better. It's and the story is very, very strong. So
you think that's going to get made into a movie? Let's go.
I kind of do. To be honest with you, I was talking with someone. We can talk about this next week. Maybe, you know what? We'll talk about this on the ITL Army Secret Show in-game breakdown. But I lay the stage for a couple reasons why maybe if they wanted to, they've kind of set the stage for some of the storyline in House of M that could happen down the road, obviously needing to incorporate, you know, the X-Men and, you know, Magneto being a very obvious, important piece of all of that. So I think it's possible. I'm trying to guess what phase 4 and 5 are, Bogman, because all we know about phase 4 of Marvel is Spider-Man's going to Europe and he's going to meet Jake Gyllenhaal. That's it.
I think it's you just hear this laugh of the evil guy. And it's like this.
You're talking about Star Wars now, Bogdan.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about
Palpatine.
No, but for Avengers instead, and they're battling Mickey Mouse.
So. Welcome, everybody. It's the greatest land in the world. We're going to get rid of all the evil.
Yeah, not Mr. Bill, Mickey Mouse.
No, I kind of do a Mr. Bill. Oh, no. Hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, no. I miss Mr. Bill. Good old stuff. All right, Mr. Bill. We get back to it. Let's get on track.
Mr. Bill is killing me here.
All right. So your top four redraft receivers from this draft in order were N'Keal Harry, Marquise Brown, you went A.J. Brown, and then you dropped potentially Paris Campbell over Deebo Samuel.
Paris Campbell, Deebo Samuel. Yeah.
That's your top five, right there. Okay, yeah, so we'll call Deebo five. What about DK Metcalf? Is DK Metcalf, even though he obviously fell because there are, there must be some serious concerns about athleticism. We don't know if there's other
injury stuff. Let's not forget, this guy had a fracture in his neck that ended his season last year. So there's some injury concerns for him for sure. So, but after running that 4.3 and looking fairly healthy, I figured he was going to be a first round pick, you know.
Ends up being the ninth wide receiver taken in the draft.
Right, the ninth wide receiver. Not only that, but like we thought that this guy's ceiling, like the highest pick it could have been, was going to be 16 to the Panthers.
Yeah,
and you know he fell all the way to the bottom of the second round. It's unbelievable.
So, do you think for this season, knowing some of the things we know and where some teams were at, I mean, if you were, let me tell you this: if we had the pre-draft DK Metcalf mindset where he was the number one wide receiver take it, where everyone kind of presumed that, and then you look and you see him on the Seahawks with Doug Baldwin potentially not coming back, it would be unanimously DK Metcalf as the top wide receiver from this draft. But that's now changed because
I might move him up. I don't have definitive rankings because
I'm asking you on the spot.
This is on the spot. We're literally just coming off of it. I might have him at two or three still ahead of Marquise Brown because the opportunity is there. That's kind of my thing with Deebo Samuel playing for San Francisco. While I really do like Deebo Samuel, I know that, you know, it took Dante Pettis a little bit to get going last year. I mean, he has some injury stuff too. But it took him a little bit to get going last year. He also didn't have Jimmy G throwing him the ball. And they have Goodwin and Pettis, and they signed Jordan Matthews, and they still like Trent Taylor. So, like, how quickly is he going to be able to evolve his game? Same thing with A.J. Brown. You know, they have Corey Davis, who's their number one. They went and signed Adam Humphries. They like Taywan Taylor. So, you know, and David Moore and Tyler Lockett in Seattle. So, it's sometimes it's difficult if you can't get off a block, if you can't run routes very cleanly, for you to get going immediately out of the chute at wide receiver. Now, you know we don't have that for Marquise Brown because of just the lack of wide receivers there. You just said Chris Moore was their number one right now. That's bad, dude.
Not good.
That's really bad.
There's just a couple guys that have unique opportunities in front of them. And, you know, Deebo, Arcega-Whiteside, you know, those guys are put into, you know, good spots, but there are a few of these, and I'm trying to think what's Indianapolis' situation outside of T.Y. Hilton?
They got Funches, and they drafted, Deion Kane last year, late, who they like, before the season started.
So, I mean, what I would say looking at this though, the guys that are put in the most unique situation for high end production, if you really break it down, it probably looks like Marquise Brown, DK Metcalf, and probably Mecole Hardman. Those are the three.
Look, Hardman's a difficult case because we know, like, I can't see Tyreek Hill playing. To be honest, I can't see him outside of jail for a long time. So he's gone. Let's just say that he's done. Sammy Watkins is the number one there. But obviously, Travis Kelce is the big guy. And they like DeMarcus Robinson. He's been there for a little while. So they like what he can do. And Hardman is a speedy guy. He's definitely going to return kicks and punts. Are they going to draft someone, you know, on this third day here? Because the wide receiver depth is huge in this draft. And there are still guys out there on the board that could be PPR darlings. I mean, Hakeem Butler's still available. Kelvin Harmon's still available. So there's more options. I mean, Mecole Hardman might go early and then not produce as well as a guy that comes in behind him, which we saw with the Packers last year. It was all late round guys, but we saw Valdez-Scantling was the last guy they picked, and he was producing more than Equanimee St. Brown and all the other guys. So it's a weird situation in Kansas City. But some of these guys picked in round three, I really like too. The Welsh. I like your guy Jalen Hurd. I actually don't know if you remember this, but I called you to tell you, like, man, this Deontay Johnson, like, everybody has him really low, but I kind of like him, and he reminded me of Antonio Brown, and then the Steelers picked him up.
Yeah, you liked him, yeah.
Terry McLaurin going to Washington, you know, we know about Washington's weapons and how poor they are, and Terry McLaurin playing with Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State last year. They already have the built-in connection. You already talked about Miles Boykin possibly being a really good option for the Ravens. I, to be honest, I kind of like the third rounder situations, some of them more than I like the second rounder situations. So,
I mean, that's definitely true. That, and that's why, I mean, you know, the battles will be really interesting. Now, I want to move to running back though. So yeah. We already talked about Jacobs. In the second round, you only had one go. You only had one running back go, and it was Miles Sanders, who went to the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's a whole situation because that didn't open up. A couple of the others, you had Daryl Henderson, who went to the Rams. I mean, yeah. Great handcuff, but you can't imagine any production. David Montgomery ends up going to the Chicago Bears at 73. And now he's going to be there with Tariq Cohen. And yeah. That could be, I mean, you could see the positive of job opening up, but then you still know what Cohen does. The next one, Devin Singletary, goes to the Buffalo Bills, and that's one of those spots where it's like, I mean, there's just all those old guys there. If there weren't so many old guys there, it'd be an incredible situation. And then the rich get richer with the New England Patriots taking freaking Damian Harris. They get, and then the Minnesota Vikings took Alexander Mattison, Boise State running back, with the final pick in the third round. So you look at those guys, and here's the problem. I mean, there's some redraft value. It's so minimal outside of Josh Jacobs. I saw some people pining for Miles Sanders, that they think Miles Sanders is going to be the guy that's going to, you know, completely make Jordan Howard completely irrelevant. And well, we know what the Eagles have done. I saw a couple people very, very excited about David Montgomery because of what the Bears could do with him. So I ask you, top four redraft running backs this year. It's got to start with Josh Jacobs, but then where do you go?
Well, it's Josh Jacobs, 1,000 feet of crap, and then everybody else. That's really what it is, because there's just so many questions here. I think the biggest question is, what does it say about Todd Gurley with the Rams taking Daryl Henderson? Now, Daryl Henderson is a, you know, he can be a little bit gadgety. They could turn this into a New Orleans Saints type of a deal with, you know, when they had Ingram and Kamara. That could kind of be what's going to end up happening here, because Henderson's really good. But we know that, you know, Gurley was hurt real bad at the end of last year, and it seems to be an arthritic thing, which will last you for the rest of your career. So, you know, we know running backs get banged up and fall off super fast all the time. Is that what we're getting here from Todd Gurley? And how far is he going to drop because a guy like Henderson comes in behind? I mean, I still can't see him drop him out of the top five or six picks, but is he going to be closer to five or six than to one? You know, that's a big question. I think if I had to order them, the Welsh, it would be Josh Jacobs one, Montgomery two, just because I think that he can carry the load. We saw him do it at Iowa State behind a terrible offensive line. Miles Sanders at three, because they rotate those guys. Singletary is buried, and I already forgot the other one. Who's the other one I missed?
Yeah, oh, Damian Harris and Madison. Let me throw this
out.
But
Damian Harris might be ruining Sony Michel's value.
Okay, that's
possible.
Well,
they might use Harris at the goal line is the point.
Let me throw this out to you. The fourth best redraft running back did not get drafted in the first three rounds.
Yeah,
that I might would be, say that. Because I agree with you on your assessment of the top three. I think that's where I'm going to go. Montgomery. I like Montgomery's prospect in Chicago than I like Miles Sanders in Philadelphia. But Miles Sanders comes in at number three. if there was a long-term injury with Todd Gurley, Daryl Henderson would go to the top, but it's just not an option. At this moment, Devin Singletary is interesting, but he's less interesting when LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore are still there, you know, if that holds through. So looking at this, I'm not sure the guy is there. What running backs potential? I mean, we're doing this before the fourth, fifth has gone down. Is there a running back you can think of that could jump out and be that guy?
Justice Hill, 100%.
Okay.
If Justice Hill wound up in a good situation, I really like his prospects. I'm probably a bigger Elijah Holyfield fan than most people are. Zigbo got a lot of runs, so if he wound up in a nice situation, and Miles Gaskin.
I was just about to say him.
Where Gaskin's complete. I really, really like Gaskin. He can do everything. He started a long time at Washington, and if he lands in a nice situation where, you know, they need a running back or they need a decent, you know, punt, like put him in Miami, you know, and let's say the Kenyon Drake and getting it done. Miles Gaskin could be huge there. So, you know, they need a backup in Dallas. I'm just trying to look off the top of my head what situations, because that Houston could use someone behind Miller and Foreman. Jacksonville, Fournette definitely needs a handcuff.
What about Miami?
Yeah, I said first one I said with Drake. Yeah. So, you know, they could use someone. Tampa Bay, potentially, if Ronald Jones isn't going to get it done.
There's going to be, sure. Here's the deal. There's going to be a lot of handcuff situations, but we're going to have to look for the highest opportunity for a player to supplant someone that's ahead of him, or we're going to have to, you know, see if we fall into one of those luck situations of a player just going into the perfect spot. And we really, I mean, that was Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs was the absolute perfect spot. So we have to see if that's there. That is what is so interesting about this running back class. The dynasty perspective, it's a whole other ballgame. Completely other ballgame when you look at these. And that's something that we will be talking about over on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast this coming week. A lot of dynasty talk on it. So make sure you lock into there. When we come back, we got to talk about the pro debuts of maybe the most hyped prospect of all time, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they use to make...
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
All right, we're back. In This League. Bogman and the Welsh. You think sometimes... I struggle with this. Do you think... like Bogman and the Welsh or In This League, which one elicits a reaction more? Have we supplanted our own product? Our personalities? Are we bigger than our product?
It's something I never thought of. Okay. So I don't have a good answer for you. I don't know. Maybe.
It's like, I'm not comparing this, but I'm just trying to think of an analogy. It would be like the idea of like Big Cat and PFT versus Barstool.
Okay.
We are the Adam
Barstool
version.
Is definitely bigger.
We're the Adams version of that type of thing. But but also we don't have like other entities, so that's why it's
we're like the Appel version of that instead of Apple. So
exactly. I just wondered that just because I feel like how many times I've seen, do you remember?
I think you probably have with all of your minor league stuff. You probably have.
But no, but
I don't
like,
know if I have yet.
Remember a couple of years ago when we were at First Pitch and it was, I think it was the first time we met Eno, and Eno was like, "Hey, from the Welsh podcast." Do you remember that?
I remember you telling me about it.
Yeah, he's so, like from the Welsh podcast.
You know how he remembered me was he goes, "Oh yeah, one of your guys sent me a bunch of beer." And I was like, true. Yeah, that's us. So that was Youngberg. Youngberg sent you a bunch of beer.
Fans like to butter everybody up, which we love. We totally love that. Yeah, it's an inconsequential thought that I have, but usually most of them are. I just thought about that where it's like Bogman and the Welsh might elicit more reaction than in this league.
Could possibly be.
But we also don't have our rejoins that go, you know, Bogman and the Welsh, you know.
I kept needling at our buddy Rob Ditton during the second round because, you know, he's a Delaware fan. And everyone knows. And a Cowboy fan. So the Cowboys had this pick and they were most likely going to take a safety, it seemed like. And the Eagles needed a safety too, and that's division rivals, but they were one pick ahead of the Cowboys. And I'm like, so let me just like, you know, what's the anger level you would have if the Eagles took your Delaware guy? And he was like, just stop. And I kept needling a little bit, and he's like, you know what? New Welsh order. How about that? And I was like, what? Come on, man. Come on. So, but no, neither one of them wound up taking Adderley. So he went to, I believe he went to the Chargers.
The Delaware guy?
Yeah, the Delaware guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Delaware. Making it happen, right?
That's right. Delaware, our first state.
Yeah. Is that true?
That's true.
So uneducated. I mean, you got to start listening to my books in my ears or reading my books in my ears.
Yeah.
To get better.
Do something. Right.
I am. House of M. Read my House of M, Bogman. House of Magnus.
What a book. Yeah. Yep.
It's a book.
Got
it's a novel.
It's a novel with a bunch of pictures, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautifully.
The same way Playboy's a novel.
You know, you could say viewing beautifully illustrated images might elicit, you know, your neurons in a completely different way to get your synapses going.
Yeah. It sounds like you're trying to say something complicated, but coming from you, I'm not sure if we're getting across the right way here.
You told me that DK Metcalf and Pete Carroll taking their shirts off. I thought it was a joke. I'm literally seeing the video of DK Metcalf walking into the Seahawks staff room without a shirt on, and Pete Carroll took his shirt off. I didn't think that was real. That's amazing.
He comes in with no shirt on. I'm watching it right now, too. Yeah, and here goes Pete Carroll.
Yep,
ripping that shirt off.
Yeah, comes in with a big old ridiculous-looking chain.
Pete Carroll's funny.
Yeah, he's a funny dude.
He's a funny dude, you know. I guess if I got to pay all those players at USC and then take off for an NFL job, I'd be in a good mood, too.
Sure. Wouldn't you be happy if you were a guy that escaped all of that criticism and hate, and then you just had to go to the Super Bowl, and instead of running the ball on the inch yard line, you throw it?
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Give that ball to Marshawn.
Okay.
Probably Super Bowl champs.
Maybe. First off, did you watch the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. video?
Yes, I did. The one where Vlad Sr. speaking in Spanish to Vlad Jr. Yeah.
Tear up a little bit?
Not really. So I think I was too busy reading.
You and I both.
Because I don't know any Spanish. So.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Good point. That actually is a good point. Like, it did take a little bit of the emotion because everyone was like, who had the onions in here and all the jokes. But it does take a tiny bit away when you're reading it. But I was kind of thinking like, you and me both lost our dads. And, you know, you see that type of stuff and, you know, you like get the tear up a little bit. And I was thinking, I didn't, by the way, because I'm a cold hearted son of a bitch now. But like, I saw that and I was like, God damn it. Is this the greatest baseball family? Is this the best? Is this gonna be the greatest?
The Griffies were pretty good too. So the
Griffies were really, really good. But okay, but think about this: the trajectory of where Vlad is going. If Vlad lives up to the hype, that father son duo will be unmatched in baseball, regardless of what Griffey Senior and Griffey did. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero is on the same trajectory hype wise of a Griffey Junior, and Vladimir Guerrero Senior. I mean, was a star, was an absolute star. And I was so amazed with the roadshow that went on with this. I mean, Twitter had live updates on his at bats. There were camera crews following him the whole day. He came in walking wearing his father's Expos jersey. There were updates the entire day going on here. And it was incredible. Vlad Guerrero Sr. was there. Everything was just hyped up to the absolute max. Dude, Marcus Stroman said, happy Vladdy Jr. Day. Like, there was a hashtag blog. I don't know if you know it. It was Vladdy Jr. Day.
Someone followed Justin Smoke, and they, like, put the camera in his face. It's obviously someone who knows him. And he goes, what are you doing, man? I ain't Vladdy.
I mean, the hype is the most ridiculous thing ever. That guy is going to sell all the freaking jerseys. So he makes his pro debut, probably one of the most anticipated pro debuts ever. I was happy to be watching it. He grounded out with a 106-mile-an-hour exit velocity, which at least through about five innings was the hardest hit ball in the game. And then he hit, what was it? He hit two or one to the track, which were, one was almost a homer, two to the track. And then he finally ends up getting his first pro hit, which was a double, which he hit it. He almost chopped it down the first base line, and he ends up turning it for a double in a really, really solid pro debut. So what thoughts do you have off of the entire circus that was made of it? And then, you know, him coming in, just hitting the ball hard, made a couple killer defensive plays. And I mean, it felt like he kind of lived up to the hype and the excitement that has Toronto rocking now.
I think the main thing I'm happy for is that this wait and weirdness is over, right?
Sure.
He's up in the bigs. He's up to stay. He would have to just do unbelievably terribly to be sent back down.
I mean, he'd have to be Chris Davis.
Right. Exactly. So I don't see that happening. So he's up for good. The wait is over. And, you know, now we can kind of move on with being impressed by I think we're going to be more impressed by his advanced analytics than anything else. Like you said, the exit velocity and stuff, because the first thing I remember is when we were at the, you know, the Fall Stars game, I was up getting a beer and I ran into Collette and Steve Gardner, and Gardner said that was 109 miles an hour off the bat, or 111 or whatever his triple was in that game. And they said that that would have been the third highest exit velocity in the bigs for last year.
Yeah.
And that was just, you know, I mean, he was playing against other really good players that throw hard, but that's pretty incredible for a kid, you know? So, I was really, really shocked by that. And that's kind of when, you know, I started buying in and all that stuff. And, everyone seems to have bought in. He got standing ovations every single time he came up to the plate. It's a lot to live up to. It's going to be unbelievably pressure filled for him.
Well, they were chanting. But I think they were chanting like Vladdy, Vladdy. I mean, I have never seen a debut like that in my life. Have I seen an entire stadium city? I mean, prospects are prospects. People, there's plenty of people that will know about it. This is one of those that every human being in that stadium knew what was going on with this guy and knew how special it was. And he was great defensively. He had really hard outs. You know, again, like the ground ball smoked, you know, got a couple balls to the wall, and then he ends up getting a double, which I think is in such classic fashion of the player himself, which I've talked about kind of ad nauseum at this point, I feel like, with people. But as I've said, like, I don't think Vlad is the type of guy that's going to come in and blow your socks off like Pete Alonso is and just smash balls out of the stadium. But he's such a technician at the plate, and he hits the ball with such aggression that, like, he's going to hit homers. He's going to
at bat, you know, speed's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's going to, you know, drop. It's like Miguel Cabrera-ish. That comp just never can die. But it's like he's going to hit 30 in his career. He's going to have probably multiple, you know, consecutive seasons of 30. But at the same time, what makes him so special is not a power situation. It's a way to get the ball in play and have a chance at every single ball. Like I said, look at those four outs in his pro debut. He had one that was smoked, a couple at the wall, none were bad at bats. And then he goes and smacks. I mean, look at the at bat. He kind of almost chops at it. He hits it opposite field down the first baseline where the first baseman wasn't. It hugs the line all the way to the wall, and he turns it into a double. This is what makes him special. Didn't strike out in the game. There's another thing. That's not his game. He was only 1-for-4 in his pro debut, but he doesn't strike out. He's going to make something happen at all times, and that's what will make him special. He could be one of those rarities that, like, he's a better real-life player than fantasy when it all comes said and done, but he's going to be special, and it was just the start of the debut, and it's crazy that we're in May and we have Eloy Jimenez, Fernando Tatis Jr.
We're not even in May, you mean?
I mean, yeah, not even in May. And we've got all these guys that are up here, these young players, and they're all finding. Chris Paddock is on another world right now. And these guys are taking the league by storm. And it's what baseball, when baseball is dealing with, you know, blacking out. What did I see? If you lived in, like, I don't know where it was. If you lived in Montana, like 35% of the games on MLBTV.com.
Well, you know, in Alaska, I think they get Mariners games blocked out.
Well, but it was,
how are those people supposed to get from Alaska to Seattle?
Well, it's ridiculous.
You know, in a reasonable time. That's
and that was the whole thing. It was like, I think it was Montana. It might have been, or Idaho or something. There was like 35% of the games were blacked out. When baseball's dealing with that, they're dealing with the constant crisis of players not having fun and all this. What they do need is they need a new injection of exciting people, and Vladimir Guerrero is all of that.
Yeah, I'm excited for him, and he seems confident, and he didn't really look rattled. You know, I was obviously watching the draft, so I didn't get to listen to the call or anything during the game, but it seemed like it was just another day at the office for him. And
yeah, he didn't seem phased, like, right, by the magnitude of right what was happening. The magnitude also was not like Carter Kieboom, who we'll talk about here in a second. Carter Kieboom is a huge top prospect for the Nationals. He made his pro debut tonight. It's not the same type of magnitude when Carter Kieboom debuts like it is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They're chanting your name. They bought your there were probably more Vlad Jr. jerseys in that stadium that night than there was of any other player.
Which is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I mean, Stroman's been pretty good for them for a while, and he was pitching tonight too. So, yeah, man, I mean, like I said, I think you expect a guy like that to kind of have nerves of steel because he grew up around it, right?
Yeah.
He grew up around Vladimir Guerrero doing all the stuff that he did and being in playoff runs and all that. So you would expect a kid that has grown up around it to have nerves of steel, but it had to be unbelievably nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
You know, but it's super impressive. And I'm just super excited to see, like, I just want to fast forward a month and look at his stat.
I do.
That's too. What I really want.
So. I'm totally with you. On Monday's episode, it'll be nice because we're going to be able to kind of rehab this conversation over a multi-game look to see kind of how some things go. And then I agree with you, though, like in a month to see, you know, when he starts to get tested and how does he get tested? Because this is a guy that walks more than he strikes out. You know, striking out is actually an event for him. And that's not, you can't say that about a lot of players. So how
only
is
asked to Dio.
Yeah, well, yeah. Everything is an event with him, actually. And similar body types, too. But, like, I am curious at, like, how is he going to deal with adjustments in Major League Baseball? And, you know, somebody said this, and I thought it was really interesting. Someone said, is Vladimir Guerrero already the face of the Blue Jays? And when I saw that, I was like, yeah, that's not a question. I would throw back out, is Vladimir Guerrero already a top five face in baseball? And I think that argument can be made. Trout and Harper are at the top of the faces of baseball. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
Who else?
I mean, Altuve has been, you know, guys in the World Series, Clayton Kershaw.
But if you're just naming the big players. I would say, me here.
Yeah, I'm naming the big players that have been in the playoffs.
Okay, but are they I don't think Clayton Kershaw's not a face of baseball anymore.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think Altuve is either. I think Altuve is great. I think he is. I don't think he is. I think if there was one Astro you would pick as being closer to a face of baseball, it's Alex Bregman.
I'd say Verlander's better than both of them. But,
he's also
married to Kate Upton. So, I mean,
you think he's a bigger face. It's not about being better. It's about you think Verlander's a bigger face to baseball than
more
Bregman.
People would know who Verlander is than Altuve or Bregman, just if you went around the United States. And I think half of that's because he's a good player and people will recognize him, and half that's because he's married to Kate Upton and people will recognize him from that.
How about this argument? I would say that I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at this point might be a bigger face to baseball than Nolan Arenado is. See, what you're getting
Nolan Arenado has been an MVP, though. Yeah. Like, I just can't agree with that yet.
Okay.
I feel like you're arguing
statistics every time.
I'm not arguing statistics at all. I'm arguing of what people have seen. You know, I would say there's an argument for Vlad because he's got so much hype over the last year and a half. But Arenado has been on television. He's on the front of the MLB Network in their nightly rundown every single night on Quick Pitch. Like, people know who Arenado is. He's won an MVP. I think that Vlad is a bigger name because he has the same name as his dad.
I mean, that's possible, but also I think there has to be a wide kind of spread look at what's being reached, you know, the older audience of baseball and the younger audience. Who are the younger audience excited about? They're excited about Harper. They're excited about Trout. They're not going to relate with guys like Verlander, but they might relate to Vlad. I mean, it's a dumb argument that doesn't mean anything, but my point is that this is a guy that's played one Major League Baseball game, but his face is already completely recognizable and everybody talks about him. It's wild. It's wild. And I don't remember a time that we've ever seen something like that. So when we come back, we'll hit the final segment, talk a little bit more about Vlad, tell you about what Carter Kieboom did, and finish up the show with a final segment right here on In This League.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is in the...
In This League.
In the dark.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of In This League. Not in the dark. In This League in the dark would be a good show, right?
After dark.
After dark. In This League after dark.
It'd be like silk stockings.
I feel like you and I would do a good, like a good love line type show. You know, like it would be like really? Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Bogman and the Welsh.
I don't know. I think when you have two Adam Carollas, I don't know that it would be really good. I mean, you know.
Who doesn't want advice from a married person who feels lonely and a lonely
and a fat
person
guy that never gets laid. So I don't think we would be very qualified for this.
I would argue. I think we might hit. The only thing we're missing is someone that actively dates. So we're going to be bad at that. But like,
oh, that's the girl. That's the girl that you bring in.
Oh, so we, okay, good. So we get a single girl.
Right.
And she can cover that. You can cover the lonely side and I will cover the married side.
Right. The other side of loneliness being
the
married.
Other, dude, it's the alternate universe of actual loneliness. It's just marriage loneliness. I'm telling you, it'd be a hit. It'd be a hit show. So,
hit show.
By the way, check us out, patreon.com/ITLIRON. I know we mentioned it through the show, but it's been a good week of content. Coming up next week, I think I'm just still getting it all in my head. We've got the episode 3 of Game of Thrones recap that'll go up as a secret show. It's a secret podcast on our Patreon. We will have a secret show that's coming up. We will have my rank update for prospects, top 500 prospects, and we'll have an in-game. And I think all of that is coming up next week at some time. That's a lot of stuff.
And I'll rank the rookies. So and put that rank up on Patreon.
Bogman's
so.
NFL draft rookie list. So that is a ton of stuff that is going to be locking into May. So, you know, if you're one of those guys or you want to wait a couple days, though, I'm not sure if you sign up a day or two before if Patreon even charges you. But I mean, if you need to, you can wait till Wednesday, May 1st, and a load of content that's just this coming week. Not to mention all of the normal stuff we do, all of the podcasts,
all of the normal stuff that we do.
It's a lot.
And I just did, over the last 2 days, I think I've done 10 hours of streaming. And I'm going to attempt. I've been getting terrible sleep, and I warned the guys yesterday. So I may not be able to do it, but I'm going to attempt to get to bed somewhat early tonight so I can wake up because the day 3 starts at 9 our time. So we'll see.
By the way, did you ever get the stickers? I text you, and you ignored me.
I did ignore you because I didn't get them.
Are you sure? It was in a little envelope. I feel like you got them and you threw
it
away.
They might be in my mailbox. I haven't checked my mail, though. But most of the time when I get stuff, it's we have like my apartment complex has this weird thing that I pay money for. So it should be going in there.
No, it's just a letter.
It's a little locker thing.
But it's just a letter.
I understand that it's a letter. Stickers. Well, it might be in there. I just haven't checked. So.
Yeah, I always forget. You don't check your mail until they threaten you that they're going to put your mail at the post office and stop putting your mail in a mailbox for whatever reason.
They send me
an
email, right? They send me an email and say, "Hey, your mailbox is full again, idiot. Go empty it out."
Why don't you check your mail?
Why? What am I waiting for?
It just
all that's in there is bills.
Empty it.
Who can? So it doesn't bother me at all. All it does is bother the postman, which I don't care. So you know.
Okay.
All it is filled with stupid ads.
And stickers.
What do I want any of those?
There are stickers in there because we've been talking about it for weeks. We got to get these stickers up. We got the people, the peoples want the stickers. We've got the in this.
Yeah, they're really clamoring on my end. So I don't know. Are they clamoring on your end?
Yes. We've had a bevy of people want the In This League sticker, but I want to come out with three or four.
You guys got
to
realize because the Welsh has worked in radio for so long and one person's opinion means 100 people's opinion. He thinks four people.
I've had like 20 people ask me about it.
Are you serious? 20 people?
I swear to God.
I don't believe you. 20?
Yeah, dude. There was like five or six just on my Instagram post about it.
Are you sure it wasn't just those five or six?
No, it was other people.
You're multiplying
people
by four? Is this like the thing that they talked about in American Pie 2 where all guys multiply by three, and then you have to divide by three for all girls sexual partners. So
that's my thing is when I tell you I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Well, I know that. Yeah. Like yesterday when you're like, I might be able to do takeaways. Give me 20 minutes. I just did it.
Yeah.
Like 4 minutes after we hung up.
I was like, yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. I was sending it to them. By the way, when you text me,
that's
so
hilarious.
It was already over with.
My kid would not go to bed until I got home and it was endgame. And then apparently he had done something earlier today that deserved ice cream. So I had to pick up ice cream. And we're sitting there and I realize we just gave this child ice cream at like 10 o'clock at night. He's never going to go to bed. And he didn't go to bed. It was so late and it was a disaster. But all of that aside, we've got a couple stickers that we did a test for, some In This League ones, the zero shares and the ITL logo. And we just want to confirm that yours came out good. So let me know. And then we got a couple other cool ones.
Go look
we'll
as
release.
Soon as we're done with this.
Yeah. Take some pictures. I'm excited. Go, you know, you should do.
I may not have them yet. So we'll see.
You should put your zero share sticker on your mailbox. Zero shares of checking this.
I'll put it on, anything that says diet. Yeah. So,
well, you know, you could do it right now. You could do it on Carl's Jr.
Yeah, zero shares of Carl's Jr. because the Diamondbacks keep winning. Old crybaby Wilmer Flores got the pie in the face today when the D-backs smoked your Chicago Cubs.
Oh, so might have to new poll: Wilmer Flores or DK Metcalf, the new crybaby of sports.
I think we might have to give that to DK because we saw him do it at the combine and then at the draft as well. Like, what is he going to start balling as soon as he catches his first pass?
I think he might.
By the way, there were some weird dudes coming out to announce picks. Like, they had T.O. come out for the Niners.
Yeah, I saw that one. Did you see Reggie Wayne threaten some guy?
Threatened a guy?
Yeah, he said something about, he's like, I got heat, and it's something about, like, people were talking about that, like, he kind of pulled a little Marvin
clips.
Harrison. Yeah, he's like, I got heat and clips.
I thought, well, yeah, okay.
Marvin!
Marvin!
Why you do that, Marvin?
I thought he meant, like, I got clips to play, but that's how dumb I am.
The internet didn't take it that way.
I guess, yeah. You know what? I kind of, like, that kind of sparked in my mind for a second. I'm like, there's no way he would have meant that. And like, I put it away. So, yeah, that's not a good look. It's not a good look. But did you see that he said, we played y'all 20 times. Y'all won 3 of them the last time.
And then
Pat McAfee was hilarious. Did you see his thing?
No.
So Pat McAfee came out and said, look, the Colts played the Titans a bunch when I was there. I'm not going to talk about the record of the Colts versus the Titans ever, because I'm a punter and who cares about me? But I will say that I didn't have to punt many times when we played the Titans. and then he went off on this rant. And it was kind of funny because, you know, he's the special teamer that did it this year. And then we had David Akers last year go crazy in Dallas. You remember that whole thing? So and then T.O. came out for the Niners, which was weird to me. And then even weirder, when the NFL is trying to push away from the bad look, and we just saw Tyreek Hill and all this stuff, Sean Merriman announced the Chargers pick.
That's not a good look.
Didn't he, like, knock out Tila Tequila at some point?
I think so.
So what are you doing, NFL, letting that guy go up there? That was a mistake.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Weird stuff. But, all right, let's talk about a face that's important here. I want to just retread back on this here for a second. It's funny because I'm watching a Sports Center right now. Scott Van Pelt is up. They just played the Vladimir Guerrero commercial. You know, commercial wide, he's featured on SportsCenter. And listen, I know what I'm saying is it's kind of a bigger than it needs to be statement, because it's like, how can a guy that has played one game, you know, be inside the top five of baseball, especially, you know, as you've kind of pointed out, like, listen, you know, I was going to say Chris Bryant's another person we could put into there. You know, he won an MVP. Yeah. There's MVP guys, there's Cy Young players, Jacob DeGrom, all that type of stuff. I get all of Aaron Judge. I get all of this stuff, and I'm not going to sit here and argue stats of Vlad versus those things. But
I wasn't arguing stats either. I was arguing, like, just guys that have been on television a bunch. That's really my thing.
And I get that, but what I'm also going with is there's an excitement of baseball, and you know what people are going to jump to right now, and sometimes the newest thing can be there. This is the biggest prospect we've had probably since, like, a Mike Trout or Bryce Harper, and what's unique about him is he's also attached to a guy in the last 20 years that we've all been able to consume and was a star player. It's a star family. So you take these factors in, that he's been the real deal. He's a prospect we've been talking about for a year. His debut is bigger than life. There's commercials built around him that I'm not weighing the stats, but if you talk to someone and say, what are you excited about? You know, what are the guys that get you excited right now in baseball? I think Trout and Harper are obvious ones as fan favorites. Trout for all that he is. I really think there's an argument that Vlad could be talked about right now somewhere in that top 5 to 10. I know Mookie is there. I know Jacob DeGrom. I know all of this stuff that's
Yelich
there.
Yelich's hot start. Like, Yelich winning the MVP and starting hot, it's got to have him.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think if you think from an international perspective too, Vlad is going to, you know, reach outside of America, where the Guerreros might even be bigger and more hollowed. And you take the international factor, you take the youth factor, you take the connection to his family factor, all of that in, I think the face of Vladimir Guerrero with the smile, the dreads and all of that, I really think even at this point at 20 years old, he is positioned himself in some form of one of the faces of baseball. And that's an enormous statement.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. I think what has to happen for him to really rein that in and do it is he has to have a Rookie of the Year campaign.
Agreed.
And I think he can absolutely do it. So I think he can get there. I just don't know if he's there as it stands this second. That's all.
Yeah.
So he's got to get a bunch of highlights. He's got to get a highlight reel together, I think, first. Not the stupid, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world to me. I know it frustrates you more because you cover the minor leagues, obviously, about 1,000 times more than someone like I does. But the unbelievable stuff that they're doing with taking all of their videos down, and why, when they're making billions and billions of dollars every single year, can we only get grainy video shots of these prospects? It should be HD everything all the time, all over the place.
You know what I did, by the way, the other day? I don't think people noticed or no one said anything. I was watching on MILB.TV. I was watching Wander Franco, who is kind of one of the next big guys in the next 2 years.
To a non-HD grainy camera, right?
Yeah, well, I think it was an HD. Here's the problem, and this is how they sell it, and this is their little trick, by the way. Is if you go on MILB.TV, most will say HD. But the problem is the on-field cameras are HD but the distance shot, which is 75% of what you see, you know, behind the pitcher, it's not HD.
It's all the same camera that everyone who sees a flying saucer uses.
100%.
It's that camera. So everything's blurry and nothing is clear.
But I don't know if you saw what I did. So I'm watching the game, and I have a, I just have a drill I do. When Wander Franco's up, I film it with my phone. Well, Wander Franco hit his first homer of the year. I filmed it. I put it up on Twitter. And I did it to see if something was going to happen with MILB. I was going to see if I was going to get flagged. And I mean, I also just wanted to put it up so people could see Wander Franco hit his first homer. But I filmed it. I put it up. I didn't like tag MLB or anything. Nothing happened. I mean, I'm a nobody. But you know,
yeah, as soon as you get Baseball America next to your name, they'll take it down.
Sure, but it had a lot of people shared it. A lot of people liked it. All that type of stuff, and nothing happened. So I thought that was interesting with it. But yeah, I know what you're getting at. Like, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I think a lot of these guys could be bigger stars when they came up. If we had stuff like that, you know, it's why the NBA is a step ahead of MLB right now. And to be honest, it's why MLB is losing money. I don't know that they're losing a ton of money. It's like they're not going to shut down or anything. But for the first time ever, NBA franchises on average are worth more than MLB franchises. And it's because, you know, the NBA does a better job of marketing.
And I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, let people get excited about the next stars. The problem that baseball's always had is there's an MLB draft. They get you hyped up and then they're gone. And these guys.
Yeah, for 4 years.
Yeah, well, like, dude, take like the Texas Rangers. In the first round of this past year, they took this guy, Cole Wynn, who's a total dude. He hasn't pitched professionally. I've seen him pitch in the backfield. The guy got drafted. He still has not pitched professionally, and he won't probably until June. July or something like that. So, you know, they bury these guys in that respect, but that's not even what we're talking about, is that the coverage in the minor leagues is so minimal. They don't highlight the prospects enough. They do an okay, Pipeline will do an okay job. They'll put out cool plays and whatnot, but they just do the highlights and they don't let people have access better to, you know, creating these guys that are excited. Like, perfect example about this, Carter Kieboom. Carter Kieboom, I have been on for years. I think he's super talented. It's a beautiful swing, bat speed, all of that stuff. And he had a okay Arizona Fall League. He started great this year. He got called up today, the same day as Vlad. Same day. Guess what he did? Home run. Home run was his first major league hit. Crushes it to center. But it wasn't even that he was, you know, overdone by Vlad. It's just, people don't know about Carter Kieboom that much. They haven't seen his games, to your point. Even Fernando Tatis Jr., we'll be real here. Prospect heads are all in on Fernando Tatis Jr. The common fan did not know Fernando Tatis Jr. like they did Vladimir Guerrero. Vladimir Guerrero is a unicorn to baseball. And that's also part in where I kind of sit why Vladimir Guerrero is so goddamn special and so unique to baseball right now, that they need to continue to embrace it like they're doing right now, but they miss opportunities to create the same thing they did with Vlad to players like Eloy and Fernando Tatis Jr.
There should be, I don't know how much it would get immediate run, but there should be MILB Network, just like there's MLB Network, and they should be running games there.
Yeah,
it should be part of the extended package. And I mean, you know, college football does a ton, and that's more traditional and it's more in lore and stuff like that. But I think if you started that with MILB, because look, the D League has taken off, the Summer League have taken off for the NBA just because they market them well. So do that, MLB, and you'll be back in the same footing as the NBA.
And they spend too much time telling us why these guys aren't ready because they're manipulating contracts, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But the whole time these guys were inundated with these players are not ready, they've got to stick down, and then all of a sudden they're here and people don't know how to quite process it enough. And I don't think it's a... it's a ridiculous issue, but it's something that they need to monitor. But it all mirrors why Vladimir Guerrero is that much more special. And he's going to be something really super interesting to talk about. Like all the stuff we did today, NFL draft, tons of coverage here. Go back and listen to the podcast if you miss any of it. We got you this week with an NFL draft podcast over on ITL. Bogman will be giving all the latest. We got you with baseball, all the secret shows over on Patreon. So you guys know what to do. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Rock in that NFL draft and follow Bogman on Twitter @BogmanSports. Me @IsItTheWelsh. In this league, we're out.
Slay you.